Well, we're going to continue our sermon series this morning on I Love the 80s. As you heard, 1981 is what we're on today. The top song, 1981, was 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. Greg, I liked your song a lot better this morning. I love that worship song. Thank you so much. But we are in the book of Psalms this summer, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms 81. We're going to highlight Psalms 81 this morning, but as you're doing that, I'm going to give some fun statistics about 1981. Many of you are living in that day. Some of you are raising children in the 80s, and some of you are growing up in the 80s. So 1981, the average cost of a new home in 1981 was $78,000. The average income per year was $21,000. The cost of a gallon of gas in 1981 average was $1.25. A Tandy TRS-80 personal computer was $149.50. I had one of those growing up. A 19-inch color TV with remote control was $399.95. An under-the-counter dishwasher, $250. Plums were 39 cents a pound in 1981, and a jar of Miracle Whip was $1.27. Turkey was 55 cents a pound, and a brand new Star Wars figure set was $29.99. A lady's felt beret, remember those in the 80s, was $5.50, and a men's leather jacket was $129.99 back in 1981. Couple highlights from 1981, Lady Diana Spencer married Charles, Prince of Wales in 1981, and the space shuttle Columbia successfully launched and started the space shuttle program in 1981. Raiders of the Lost Ark was released in theaters in 1981. And the DeLorean debuted for the first time in 1981. Anybody have a DeLorean back? Those are the cars used in Back to the Future, if you remember. That's your favorite car, Brooke? Is that what you're getting when you're 16? So those are some fun highlights of 1981. Like I said, if you have your Bibles, we're going to highlight Psalms 81 today. I want to read through it. It's not a very long psalm, but what a powerful message God has for us this morning. And a lot of reminders, maybe nothing brand new for us, but boy, some great reminders of what God wants from us in our worship and in our daily lives of Him. Psalms 81, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the tambourine, play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full on the day of our feast, this is the decree of Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. He established it as a statute for Joseph when he went out against Egypt, where we heard a language we did not understand. He says, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. You ever wonder what exactly God wants from you? That happens from time to time. In 20-some years of ministry, I've heard a lot of people say, what does he want from me? And sometimes we just go through life situations and we get frustrated, or maybe our Christian walk isn't going the way we think it should, or maybe our family life isn't going the way we think it should, or church or work or whatever the case may be. And sometimes we just spiritually throw up our hands and say, Lord, what do you want from me? What am I not doing? Or what could I be doing more for you or with you? And you know, sometimes we get that frustration. Sometimes we get frustrated with people sometimes, with maybe a parent or an employer or something like that. What do you want from me? That term gets thrown out there a lot. And that happens with God sometimes. We just sometimes, Lord, what do you want from me today? And I asked, a question. Have you ever been unsure if you're doing what he expects of you? It's easy to go through your walk with God, but to step back and say, you know what? Am I really doing what God expects from me? Am I really being the person? Am I really being the son or the daughter he wants me to be? I think this Psalm 81, just opens our eyes as to what God simply wants from his people. With God, I love when God speaks. There is no gray or shaded area. If God wants something, he makes it very clear what I want from you. If he wants you to stop something or he doesn't want you to be doing something, he makes that very clear. And I think in this psalm, if we take a close look at it, God makes it pretty black and white. This is some of the things I want you to be doing. He's talking to his people, Israel, here, and absolutely that applies to us today, of what God wants from us. And number one, if you look at the first seven verses, that whole sing for joy to God, our strength, and God reminds them that, I removed the burden from their shoulders, their hands were set free from the basket. He talks about what he's done for a little bit. If you got your outline there in the bulletin, number one is just, God wants my praise. Simply, God wants my praise, because, and then he reminds them, because he is God. God wants my praise simply because he is God. Which begs the question, which makes us thinking, what has God done in your life to cause you to praise his name? God's reminding the Israelites a couple of things of what he's done. You know, I've removed the burdens from their shoulders. What burdens has God taken away from your shoulders? What relief has he given you? What burdens has he removed from your shoulders in the past? What burdens do you have today that he's prepared to take away from you today? Hurts, anxieties, sin issues. Man, he's sitting there waiting to take those burdens away. And because he does that, just that alone should cause us to praise his name, simply because he is God and I am not. He has the ability to do some things that I don't have the ability to do. He has the ability to take away a burden that under my own strength I cannot take away, or I cannot carry on my own. One of the neat things, we went to VIP camp this past week. Some of you have been there, some of you have visited, and one of the joys of VIP camp is just to simply serve your camper. Each one of us is assigned a camper for the week, and some of those campers have some very, very, tough disabilities that they deal with in life, and they need a lot of help. So it's your job as their buddy to help them with their burden. And some of those campers' burdens are so heavy, it takes more than one person to take care of those burdens. And we as buddies, not necessarily campers, we as buddies help carry each other's burdens in that. We have a couple guys at night that just require a lot of help to get them ready for bed at night. Ted knows, he's been there, done that, right? Yeah, and they just require extra help. But to know that there's another Christian brother or a Christian sister there to help lift that burden, and it's not so scary anymore. My very first time at VIP camp, I was scared out of my mind, and I was raised with that population of people. My mom, we had them in and out of our home all the time, but I never cared for them. And sometimes God asks us to do some things out in the world in ministry, and it can seem overwhelming. But our God offers the church,
offers brothers and sisters to help you carry your burden of ministry. Or the neat part is sometimes God just does it himself. He just takes that burden with you. Sometimes he doesn't necessarily remove it, but he helps you carry it sometimes until that road is finished. So God wants my praise because of what he does. And one of the things he does is just absolutely removes burdens. What has he rescued you from? He brings up that point in our text this morning. And he reminds the Israelites of what they have been rescued from. What is it in your life that you need to be reminded of that God rescued you from? But for all of us, personally, is the pit of sin. Scripture makes it very clear. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And God rescued us from that. He offered a Savior because of that, to reconcile us back to him. That alone should cause us to worship him because of who he is and what he does. How many times has God answered you in your times of distress? These are questions when you wake up in the morning and you choose to worship and to praise his name. Ask yourself, how many times has God rescued me from distress? Just this past week. Just this past year. Maybe just this past 20 years. What are the things God has rescued you from? God expects his people to praise his name at all times. Not just for an hour or two on Sunday mornings, but to wake up every day refreshed with a brand new start, with a brand new week sometimes, or to start all over the next day with praise and worship of his name simply because I am God. And that's what he's telling his people here. I want your praise. I deserve your praise because this is who I am. And again, it's a reminder. We talked briefly about it last Sunday, where God's reminding his people, I am God, you are not, and I am to be praised, and I am to be taken seriously. I love you, and I adore you, and I will do everything for you, but I am also your God, and I will be praised. And the very scriptures are very clear, if my people will not worship me, if they will not praise me, nature will cry out. It says rocks, mountains will bend in worship of me. He will be praised. That's how great and powerful he is. What a reminder this morning by this psalmist of one of the most important things God wants from his people is just simply praise. And we can praise God in so many different forms. This morning we sang songs of worship. We gathered at the communion table, and what a wonderful communion meditation that James had this morning to remind us of our relationship with Jesus Christ and to not mix that relationship up with the rest of the world and to poison that relationship. That's worthy of God because God is so faithful to us all the time, which allows us to give him praise and worship. Number two, if you were just going to look at verse 8 through 9, if you just look at the next couple verses, God talks about how he wants my loyalty. Not only does he want my praise, he absolutely wants my loyalty. And that goes right in line with what James was talking about this morning in communion. It's kind of neat. James had no idea what I was preaching today, but the Holy Spirit did and lined that up. God wants my loyalty because he simply deserves it. Again, because he is God and because of what he has done in my life, he says, I want your loyalty. He makes it very clear, hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would just listen to me, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. Let me tell you, we serve an all-powerful God, creator of all universe, and he makes it very clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he is a jealous God. Not in an ungodly or sinful way, but he says, I am Jehovah the Lord God, and I will be your only God. Jesus makes it very clear. When he walked the earth, there is only one way to the Father, and that is through me. There aren't several roads. There are not many paths. There's not many works that you can do to get to the Father. There's one God,
and one way to the Father. And he says, I will be worshipped, but not only will I be worshipped, I will have your loyalty. You will serve no other gods but me. And it's very easy as Americans to sit back and say, well, we don't have any idol worship in our home. We don't have any statues of Buddha in our home. We don't have any totem poles that we worship, you know, in Native American culture. It's very easy to say we don't have man-made things. Oh, but be careful. Like James kind of addressed this morning, we do worship other things. I've mentioned it before. We worship the almighty television sometimes. We worship the almighty dollar a lot of times. Jesus warns us about that. The love of money can be the root of so many, if not all, kinds of evil. God says, I will be your God and you will be my people. Period. The end. No other God has done what your God has done. And just a reminder, I'm going to list a few. If you want to write them down, that's fine. If you want to be reminded this morning, no other God has rescued me from myself and my sin. And the same goes for you. Money didn't rescue me from my sin. My friends didn't rescue me from my sin. My wife didn't rescue me from my sin. Not even my church rescued me from my sin. God and God alone rescued me from the pit and from the death that I had coming because of my own decisions and my own selfish desires. No other God has stuck with me when I turned my back on him. You think about that. Think of all the things we accidentally or on purposely choose to worship or put before God. There is nothing and nobody out there who will stick with you even when you have turned their backs, your back on them. You think about all the relationships you've had. It's tough to love somebody who's turned their back on you. It's tough to want good things for somebody who has turned their back on you. It's tough to serve people who have turned their back on you. And God does it every single day. No other God out there has stuck with you when you turned your back on him. God made it very clear at just the right time. Jesus Christ laid his life down on you when, yes, you were a sinner, turning your back on him. He loved you, adored you, and called you by name. There isn't another God out there that has done that or will do that. And that deserves our loyalty to him. No other God has given unlimited grace. You think about that one. Just that one should give us give him our loyalty. Nobody has offered grace like God has. Nobody has offered how many times, over and over again, forgiveness, grace. Okay, we're going to start all over. We're going to start all over. We're going to grow from this. We're going to learn from this. God has never thrown your name out the window. He has never said, okay, I'm going to move on and work on somebody else. Or I'm going to move on and I'm going to love somebody else. No. God has given you unlimited grace. You can call on his name every day under any circumstance. And there's grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that no other God paid the price for your salvation like the God Jehovah, the great I am. There is no man, there is no statue, there is not enough amount of money that could pay for your price of salvation. There is not enough material goods to buy your way into heaven, into an eternal life forever. God and God alone paid the price for your salvation, and it was don't ever take for granted the price he paid for your very life. The price he paid for your eternal life. He left his throne on heaven. Think about that. When you turned your back on him, he was loyal to you. He was faithful to you.
And he gave his very life. Nobody took it from him. He gave it because he was so in love with you and so loyal and faithful to you. That deserves our loyalty each and every day. When you catch yourself trying to choose between God and something else, serving the Lord and serving somebody else or something else, and money's a big one, or the lusts of the eyes can be a big one too. When we're making that decision, boy, think quickly. How loyal has God been to me? I can't do that to him. I can't do that to him. No other God died. This is the biggest one. No other God out there in world history who claimed to be God has died and walked out of a tomb under his own power. There's not one out there. There's no one that claims to do that outside of Jesus Christ. There is no God out there. Buddha is dead. The Greek gods are dead. The Egyptian gods in Israel's day, they are dead. Philosophers way back in the day, Socrates, Aristotle, those guys are dead. Jesus and Jesus alone, the one and only God Almighty in the flesh, died, physically died, and walked out of a tomb under his own power. No other God has done that. And that deserves our loyalty. He is the one and only life giver. He is the one and only life sustainer. And he is the only one that offers eternal life. Most gods that you, other gods that we choose to serve are very temporary. They only promise to give you life temporary. They only promise to give you joy temporary. No other God offers joy, peace, patience, all the fruit of the Spirit for eternity. God wants our loyalty, and he wants it today, black and white. Number three, verse 10 makes it very clear. God wants my prayers so he can answer me. Verse 10, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. What he's saying there is open your mouth, ask me, speak to me, bring me your petitions, and I will fill them. I will listen to your prayer, and I will answer your prayer. I will give you what you ask for me from me in my name. God wants to hear from me. That's what he's telling us. God wants to hear from you. If you're not having daily conversation with God, you are not growing in your walk with him. Do you walk and physically walk and talk with God all day long? I love the movie Fiddler on the Roof, not because of the music. I think some of the music's corny. But I love the main character, Tevye. Jewish man. If you ever watch the movie, he literally talks to God all day long. He jokes with God. He shares his worries with God. He shares his joys with God. He celebrates with God. He mourns with God all day long. What do you think Adam did in the Garden of Eden all day long? Conversed with God, walked with God, talked with God. What do you think God desires from us today and made it possible for us to do today? To hear from us. Are you daily giving him your thoughts? Are you daily giving him your anxieties, your joys? What's made you happy today? What's made you frustrated today? He wants to hear that from you so he can respond to that. God gave us the ability to choose to go to him, to run to him with things, or to choose to run away. Man, he wants us to choose, run towards me. Open your mouth wide that I can fill it. So what are you asking God for on a daily basis? Are you asking for wisdom? Are you asking for understanding every day when you open up his word? Do you bow your head and say, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding for what I am about to read? A gift from you. He wants to hear those things. He is waiting anxiously to give to his children. Raise your hand if you're a grandma. Any grandmas? I know we got some grandmas. How many of you grandmas love it when your grandkids say, I'd like to have that? Paula likes shopping. Grandmas love to give their grandkids fun stuff. Whether it's bought in a store or handmade by them, grandmas love to give to children. They can't wait. Growing up, my grandma, she would have, my grandma lived far away. We only saw grandma about 3, maybe 4 times a year. And she would have stuff laid out for me and my brother that she had put together all year long, or you know, our Christmases were big because they just love to give. My grandma liked to cook. The way she showed you that she loved you, she cooked for you and she made for you. You know how your Heavenly Father, he anxiously awaits to hear what you want so he can fulfill that. Father, Jesus gives us that in his example of how to pray to God. Give us today my daily bread. Give me you, God. Give me an idea of what you are doing and let me be a part of that. God's waiting for you to ask for that. And God, if you just let me do some ministry for you and with you, give me the tools necessary to do that. If I need a voice to speak, give me that voice. If I need a car or a jet plane to travel, Father, provide that. If I need food to offer to the homeless, give me that. Whatever it is, Father, that you've called me to do, bless me with the ability to do that. He is waiting anxiously to hear from you today so that he can give good gifts to his children. God wants your praise. Or he wants your prayers so he can answer you. Number 4, verses 11 through 16 there, to the end of this psalm. God very much wants my obedience. And he wants my obedience so he can enable me. He wants obedience so he can enable you to do what he's called you to do. You see, God cannot and will not reward the unrighteous. He makes that very clear in the Old Testament by example. And he makes it very clear in the New Testament through Jesus, and especially a lot through Paul's writings. God cannot and will not reward the unrighteous, but he makes it very clear to the righteous, to those who obey him, to those who follow him to the letter, there is blessing beyond belief. He even goes as far to say, test me in that. And your obedience to me, you test me and see if I will not pour out the blessing so much that you won't even be able to handle it. Can you imagine having so much blessing from God, you just can't stand it? To have to say, God, stop giving. I can't take it some more. I'm overwhelmed. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by God's blessing? He does it. When you're obedient to him, he blesses you to the point your spirit is just overwhelmed. And guess what you can't help do? Back to number 1, praise him. Praise him for what he does. It's kind of silly. We want God to enable us and we want God to bless us even though we're disobedient to him. You know what? We don't raise our children that way. If you tell your child to sit down and be quiet, and they stand up and run around and scream, you don't hand them a cookie and say, good job. No, there's discipline there. When the child does listen, there's reward and blessing to encourage them to continue on in their obedience. God is the exact same way. God wants to enable us to do ministry, but he can't if we refuse to obey him. He has a ministry and a purpose for each and every one of us. But he can't do that if we are constantly disobeying him. You think of everything you ask your children or your grandchildren to do. It is for their own benefit. It is to save them from hurt, or it is to encourage them in their walk with God and for good things to happen to them. Those are why we tell our kids what to do and what not to. God's instructions are the exact same reason. Is to avoid hurt, avoid frustration, avoid things that are, you know, completely out of our control sometimes. And say, you know what, I got to walk for you that I want you to walk. It's going to be tough sometimes, but let me tell you, the reward is great. It's so much better than a cookie. It's so much better than a brand new car. It's so much better than any salary you'll ever make on planet Earth. If you would just listen to me, listen to my voice, and follow. You ever wonder why you're not moving along in your Christian maturity? We've all been there. We've all been there at one time or another. Some of you have been there in the past. Some of you are there right now. And never wonder, you know, why is everybody else moving along? Why is everybody else growing and I'm not? Take a close look at your obedience to God. When you are choosing daily to listen to him and obey him and follow, man, it seems like your walk with God just keeps growing and growing and growing. And then when you just put that down for a while and say, you know what, I'm going to be busy. I'm not going to have time to walk with God. I'm not going to have time to worship him like I need to. You'll become stale. And your relationship with God will become stale quickly. But let me tell you, for those who obey God, he says, my rewards are endless. My reward for you is endless, eternal. Folks, we serve a God who has done much for us. Don't we want to return his kindness by giving him what he wants, not what we want? We have a good God, and he makes it very clear in this psalm, a few of his wants, maybe his wants. We're very good at giving God our want list. Like a Sears catalog. God gives us a few wants right here. And just because of who he is and what he does, shouldn't we be fulfilling that want list each and every day? He simply wants you. Yeah, you. You, the sinner. You, the tall guy, the skinny guy, the heavy guy. The awkward guy. You, the one who has trouble speaking. You who can't carry a note if your life depended on it. You who have had all your powers tools taken away from you because you're not to be trusted with them. God wants you. You who have fallen on your face over and over again in sin. Yeah, he wants you. He wants your praise. He wants your loyalty. He wants your prayers. And he definitely wants your obedience. That's not much to ask from an all-loving, an all-knowing, an all-powerful, and an all-gracious God like our God. I don't think he's asking much for everything he is. Man, use Psalm 81. Go back and read it this week. And as we sing our invitation song this morning, may that be a reminder all week long of a few simple things God wants from me. And you think about all that he is. Won't you give him everything he wants today? And it starts with you. I want you. If you've never before given God you and gone to his throne and asked for mercy, asked for his grace, asked for his salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite you today to do that, to come forward this morning and say, I am a sinner. Say, tell that to God, to his throne. I am a sinner and I need your grace. I need to be saved by your grace today. We will pray with you. We will get you baptized in his baptism and start a new, fresh today in a walking, growing relationship with God today. For the rest of us, who is most of us, who have already done that, what a reminder from this psalmist this morning to wake up every morning and know that God has expectations for you. We wake up a lot of times and we have a lot of expectations for God. We expect God to do a lot of things. God asks us for a few, sometimes simple, sometimes not so simple things. But he doesn't ask. He demands those things of what he wants. Would you give those to him today, starting with your heart, and let your heart lead what everything else is going to happen for the rest of the week. With a stand, listen to the words of the hymn we're going to sing this morning and make that your prayer to God this morning. Please stand and respond to the word of God.